What's so great about? What's so great about?
So great about the podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, Terry, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Woo!
Now, Terry, I lied to you just now. I'm not well.
I can tell why.
Right, I'm just gonna talk about it and then we're just gonna get it done. It was the last game of the season today. Liverpool were behind by a point going into it. They were hoping for Steven Gerrard, written in the stars. Steven Gerrard's Aston Villa.
The most unreliable man to deliver you a league title. Give me a break. Oh,
and then Aston Villa went 2-0 up in their game with Coutinho scoring the goal. I'm
Did
like,
you see
holy
the goal?
Shit.
Yeah, it was a great goal. Unbelievable. Like,
great goal.
Still has it when he wants to. Like.
He just doesn't always want it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I was like, and even when it was 1-0 up, I was saying to Kerry, he's like, no, it's going to have to be at least 2 or 3 because City will come back. Like, and even like they went 1-0 up before halftime, I was even saying, like, I would rather they go 1-0 up after halftime so they don't get a chance to regroup and all this. But then when they went 2-0 up in the second half, I was like, oh my God. And then Liverpool were playing shite at that point. It was 1-1 in Liverpool's game. And I thought all day, I was like, Liverpool are going to win, but City are also going to win. And that's, you know, I'd accept
that.
That's
how it goes.
And I was like, it'll still be, you know, whatever, a good cap to the season because it's been a good season so far.
Yeah.
Could have been the greatest ever. Like, and the scenes, I would have lost my mind. And then just City came back with 3 goals in 2 minutes.
Three goals in six minutes.
And it was
unbelievable.
I'm gonna
say it out here.
Go on.
And you know, I'm putting it out now. It's gonna be out on the internet. This City team, like, are the team that remind me of like Ferguson's Man United the most.
Yeah.
In that, like, whenever they're down.
Yeah.
Like 2-0 down to West Ham. Like, well, they're still gonna win 3-2.
Yeah.
And like that, and like. I can say that as somebody who doesn't follow City, and I can see it as an outsider. And whenever I was watching Man United growing up, or in their golden era, I'd be like, they're losing. I'm like, fuck, get my dad. Like, they're going to win. Like, they're going to win 3-1. What are you talking about? And I'm like, no. And then they'd win 3-1. And I'd be like, oh, I'm okay now. But like, they just have this, like, obviously they've got tremendous players, but they also have this like attitude of like,
yeah,
we're just going to put the pressure, crank until your bodies cannot withstand
almost like
this anymore.
Drilling for oil. They keep turning it, and then something's gonna
very
overflow.
Nice,
eh?
Andrew. Very nice.
It's just
because of their benevolent owners. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, of course. Yes, exactly. And I'll be honest, I had that feeling with Liverpool maybe in the 2018-2019 season. I always thought, like, regardless, I was like, definitely coming back
that
to win
won
anyway.
The title.
I don't necessarily have that feeling now. But like, even at 1-0 down, like, I'm like, okay, well, we're gonna come back and win this. But
yeah,
like,
but it was weird. Like, at 1-0 down, like, yous were quite open still. Like, yous were swarming them. It was a very open game.
Could have been. The first half was like, they were so emotional,
pinball,
almost like.
Because
I think the fans going mental here in that City were down, like, just made Liverpool like almost panic or something. And you know, it was crazy. It was end to end in a weird way. Even though it was mostly Liverpool, whenever Wolves got it forward, there was just no one there. That high line, and there was no Van Dijk, and like,
yeah,
all this sort of stuff. So
I was in the pub this afternoon with Bonnie. We went for a spot of lunch to meet my sister down the road, and I'd forgotten that all the games were kicking off at 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it just, again, being in a pub, it's been fucking ages since I've actually, like, brought Bonnie to a pub. I think we've done it, like, 3 times in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But there was a bunch of, like, teenage Liverpool fans that were there, like, drinking Cokes. And, like, when Liverpool equalised, they got a big roar or whatever.
Yeah.
But the roar when... Because they had City on the other screen. Yeah. So they could see both screens. So the roar when, like, City conceded...
Yeah.
...was, like, bigger than Liverpool scoring.
Yeah.
And I was like, fucking obnoxious little that was snot more, boys.
That's more unexpected. I get it, though. I do get it. I would
scared
also
the kids, though. Gave them a big right. fright. Gave them a big fright. My sister's there with, like, a six-month-old and, you know, a six-year-old. And yeah, I was there, yeah. Bonnie. And I was just like, oh, little fuckers.
Bit of fucking respect over here.
Hey!
We're trying to eat our lunch.
Sorry, but chicken wings over here.
So, yeah, that's what it is. It's just, it's the hope that kills you. And I thought... The only way I'll be disappointed today, like, I'll be a little bit disappointed, but I didn't expect it. It was just when they dangle it like that in front of you.
Like, outrageous, though, the City.
I can't even say it. Like, as much as I dislike like City.
Rodri's goal. Did you see Rodri's goal?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I was like, oof, that's like a snooker shot. You know, it's just like, pew!
Like, screwball in the side pocket.
Yeah, kind of. It wasn't even like that. It was just like... I don't know, like Steve Hendry or something, that it would just be like one of those shots, clean, flies clean, in, yeah. You know, in the corner.
Yeah. So it was, yeah, it was just, and you know what the worst part was, is like when Liverpool were like really playing shite and it was like 80 minutes to go, I knew City had gone 3-2 up, and then my TV, my Virgin box,
your beloved Virgin, just went, huh?
Boom, like went turned off. I was like, what? And it takes like five minutes to turn it back on. So it came back on, wouldn't turn back on again. Had to turn it off, turn it back on again. I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, Salah scored. Like, I'm checking Twitter as Kerry's trying to get it up. Salah scored. Like, and I'm just, I was so like, for a good...
Who got
like,
the third one? Robinson?
Robertson, yeah.
Yeah.
Inexplicably left free in the fantasy football. I thought that'd be enough.
I went from, I couldn't, I don't know who, him, got you got him. Rid of, you got, yeah, I mean, fat lot of good, did you?
I know.
Let me just check it now.
I lost to Gary, I'll tell you that.
Ugh.
So I think that's
I figured that. Like, oh, here we go. I think, I've lost the whole thing on...
Do you come second?
Points. Yeah, second. Joint. I lost on goal difference, essentially.
Right.
I think we should go to a playoff, is what I think we should do.
Playoff?
Yeah. Hey, we never agreed that's how it worked.
Yeah, this never happened before. Quite unprecedented.
You know what it was? It was that like 88 point apiece week that me and Gary had. That like that's why the league is so fucked up that way. That me and him, like, we finished on 64 points. Sean finished on 63. You finished fifth, Andy. From
fifth?
Yeah, you dropped all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But that's
Christ.
How tight it was. Like, me and Gary.
See, between five of us, there was one point in it. Yeah. How mental.
So we have finished joint on 64. He obviously has more points total or whatever. And
He had Son. He had fucking whatever. He had all these guys. But so that was a bit. It was a bit of a. I was very quiet for
bad
about
day
an hour
all
and
over.
A half afterwards.
Bad day
it wasn't.
You weren't writing in the group. You weren't writing in the group.
No, no, I was not. I didn't care to. I was too sore about it. But anyway, enough about that, Terry. Please, enough about
I want
that.
To ask you a question on your newfound fame.
Oh, yes.
While we're on the topic of football.
I can't see you anymore. Oh, there you are.
Tell me about it.
Okay, so...
It's good.
I've gone viral in some strange way.
You got a virus.
I've got the bug. I put this... When Minamino scored against Southampton there... During the week, I thought Martin Tyler, like, I seen Martin Tyler was getting a lot of stick for it anyway, but I remember thinking at the time, like, God, he doesn't sound happy about that. And I don't even really 100% buy into this, like, bias thing, but, like, he doesn't help himself. But I think he's just old. But, so anyway, I did this video of me, like mimicking Martin Tyler or whatever, and I put it on TikTok because I had, like, nine followers, and I was too self-conscious to put it on my Instagram because I... know people there and I'd never made a video before, so I just put it on TikTok because, like, grand, I've got 9 followers, maybe Tony will find it funny or something. And then I checked it like an hour later, it's like nothing happened. I was like, yeah, grand, I thought so. And then I checked it like an hour after that, it's like, no way, like 100 likes. And then, like, it just kept going and going. And then when I was driving home from work then, and Yusuf texted me like, saying like, this just popped up randomly on my Twitter, and I already had like 400 retweets or something like that for some guy. I
was clogging up my timeline that whatever day it was, the Monday, or
was it like any time I responded to someone or something like that?
It might have been. Yeah, it just like would have. Yeah, I think it was every, no, people kept commenting on it, so because it was your video.
Yeah.
It was just like somebody else, kept like class there. Man. It's like your face. Like I'm like, I've already seen this like 10 but times like, today.
It was like it's got over a million views on TikTok, and then I did a second video then on Friday, and I was actually nervous about putting that one out because I was like, you know,
that one was better.
I thought that actually turned out better. Like I don't think they're all going to be as good as that, but I'm probably going to just keep going with it and just seeing what happens.
Definitely, because, man.
It's been quite surreal. I've been very.
You'll get your headline in Vicar Street, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what I can do outside of this very niche medium.
But, you like playing your videos on the big screen, like
yeah, just one after the other.
Questions.
But the funny thing is, like, it's like I was saying before, like the best part about it has been like the people I actually know being real supportive about it. You know, like because you get all sorts commenting on it, and most of it is like really positive and like oh, brilliant, genius. Someone actually said genius. I was like, all right, now come on. But it's like, oh, I'll do this one. I'm getting the most requests by far. I'm getting is the
knowledge shot.
No, the Benteke versus Martial commentary where Benteke scores that bicycle kick. It's like, oh, what a goal! And then it's like Martial has it. And he's like, oh yes.
Welcome to
Manchester.
The reason why that. Because United were 2-0 up in that game.
Yeah, I remember. Like I was watching.
But it was like the last 5 minutes, and it was like...
His debut.
But it was like the Benteke goal was like, unbelievable goal, but it was like, you know.
Yeah.
Liverpool have been terrible this game. Like,
yeah, I thought it was like a consolation sort of thing.
Yeah, and then Martial, it was his debut. He's only been on the pitch 2 minutes, and he's twisting somebody inside and out. Like, I can understand it. Like,
it's almost funnier, like, out of context. Like,
yeah, it's way better out of context.
Because I have a few sort of ideas of follow-up ones.
The Arsenal one you did.
Oh. Yeah. Robertson. It's just, and he does that a lot for goals where he'd be like, Salah, it'll go in or something like that. So there's a few that I'm kind of, but like, it's just been like mad. It's mad seeing your own face being like, even on Twitter, it was coming up on mine and I wouldn't even have known. It was just like, oh, there I am. It's just been quite surreal.
Yeah.
Considering on Wednesday Wednesday morning I thought like maybe I'll do a little video of that, and then from that to now it's like I've got like 8,000 followers on TikTok, and they've both been viewed like nearly 2 million times. So it's mad.
Crazy.
I've been loving it. I'll be honest, I've been loving it. But like TikTok helps with like the algorithm; it really puts it in front of people. You know.
I don't use it myself.
I mean, I don't really either. Like, I just put it there because I thought that's where the least amount of people will see it. And it had the opposite effect.
Fool you.
Here, tell me about yourself, Terry, Mr. Big Shot Radio guy, eh?
I was on the radio. Today. Yeah, 8radio.com.
Tell me all about it. I was listening. I had the phone to my ear in Kids Zone with a bunch of little shits screaming around. But you sounded great.
Thank you very much. It was very fun to do. I was kind of texting you earlier on and saying it's definitely a different animal to this.
Yeah, how did you find that? Like,
you have to. There's more timing needed. You have you've kind of certain things you might have to say and stuff like that. Like, you know, you want to get your thing across. But you also don't want. And here we can ramble or whatever like that. Like, you know, because it's a very free form thing. That's not what you want. That's not good radio. You don't want to have any gaps. You don't want to be like, you know, the way we say, the way we do here.
Like,
man. But it was, I really enjoyed doing it. And I signed up to volunteer with them, or I applied to volunteer with them November, December last year.
Yeah.
And they were doing it, and they picked 7 or 8 of us to do it, which was good. You had to kind of send in a little demo and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
And it was just something that I had in my mind of kind of getting back into doing radio stuff. Is what I did in college. And I never really followed up with it outside of college, apart from this. Again, it's a bit different. But I really enjoyed it, man. And like, hopefully, I'll be like, what I was doing this week was just me doing the greatest hits era or whatever they assigned me. So I just was doing my links in between songs. There's some very good ones on a bit of Foos and Queens Monkey of Stone Ranch. Age. Nice mix of stuff. But hopefully down the line I'll be doing my own program where, you know, you come up with the concept and that'd you put the songs in and stuff like that. Like, so.
But yeah, you sounded like someone that you would hear on the radio. You know what I mean? But like, I mean that as a compliment. Not like the other shit, but like, you know, good. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it would have been understandable if for your first one you would have sounded a little bit like stiff or something, but you didn't at all. Like, you sounded like it definitely didn't sound like it was your first time doing radio. You know what I mean?
Thank you very much. Yeah, and again, like, it's part of what they said was like, you need to build up muscle memory.
Yeah.
And like the first link I did, I wasn't particularly happy with. I think I was very nervous.
Yeah.
But then the more you do as you go along, it's, you know, like anything, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, like, it's a funny kind of thing that, like, I guess anybody can do it. There's a few do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
With it, like one of the things they kind of said, and I know I was guilty of it in college and stuff, is like, don't try and do a voice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and
well,
like,
hi everyone out there in Radiohead. Yeah. It's Derry Jonah here. Yeah, that sort of stuff.
Don't do that North. What do they call that? North Atlantic.
Yeah.
You know, where you're Irish, but you sound like, good example would be like Tony Fenton or somebody who had a very distinctive, but it was also, and it worked for him.
Yeah.
But it was also very much like, hi, it's Tony Fenton here live. You know, like that kind of like announcer-y voice.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm brilliant. Really glad I got getting back into it. And yeah, it was very fun. I got a good few nice messages out of people today who were listening in. So I don't know.
Good.
I have no fixed slot or anything yet at the moment.
Yeah.
But it'll probably be, you know, an hour a week or so going forward. I'll probably just put it on my Twitter before I'm going on or anything like that, like, so
yeah. And that's 8radio for anyone who wants to check it out. But
that's the station we'd have on the house most often. It's, you know, it's an alternative to play a great mix of stuff that you're like, huh,
yeah,
I wouldn't get this on, like, you're not gonna get Foo Fighters Monkey Wrench on many other stations.
Yes.
Yeah. Or, you
and
know.
And I was a big fan of the Smiths one that was on there, one of my favourite Smiths ones. What difference does it make?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good ones there, like. But, yeah, it was mad. I was mad hearing it. You know what I mean? I don't know what I mean.
Like, Faye was like, she was like, what was it like? Like, hearing your own voice and stuff like that. I'm like,
yeah.
I hear it every week, but it's different. I don't know. It feels very different when you're listening back to yourself on the radio as opposed to yourself on a podcast. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Because like here you're like 100% yourself. You're like, yeah, that's just me.
Yeah.
Whereas the radio, you've got certain things that you need to do.
I'm beholden to other people. I'm beholden to nobody here.
Exactly.
Maybe you.
Yeah, not so much.
Have you been watching anything? All right.
I have been... I tell you what, I went to the movies yesterday, Terry. A little page out of your book. Yeah.
Was it you and Kerry, or was it the three of you?
It was the three of us.
What's out? That's kids. The bad guys?
I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint.
Yes.
My background.
Sonic 2.
Sonic 2, yes.
Is it good?
You know what? Like, Johnny
loved
it.
Did you like the first one?
I didn't even see the first one.
The first one's good. I really liked it.
I watched about 15 minutes of the first one, and I was really into it, and Joni wasn't. And then we said, oh, we might like to go to the movies, but I said, there's not really anything out, just Sonic 2. And she's like, yeah, I don't really like Sonic 2, or Sonic, or whatever. And I was like, all right. And then eventually she said, actually, I do want to go to see Sonic. And we were like, okay.
Get out of the house.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, it's looking like 2 hours long. I was like, every this two fucking hours. Industry standard. Yeah. But... kids movie. You know what? Like, I thought it was a little bit cringe. You know what I mean? Like, it was, you could tell there was some jokes in there for adults, and those jokes were kind of cringe, but like there was a lot of action in it, and like Joni, when it finished, she was like, well, that was really good. And so then that made me like it more, because I'm like, oh, she loved it. Like, and she said it a few times that day, like, that movie was really good, wasn't it? And then I was like, yeah, it was, you know. So I was happy that she liked it. But like, I find myself watching these.
It was a bit pedestrian, to be honest.
Bit cringe, wasn't it?
For my liking. For your old man's taste.
But like, Jim Carrey was great, and you know, all that
Big Driss,
sort of stuff.
Big Driss doing the voice of Knuckles.
Big Driss was good. And it was another moment of like, Kerry, like Knuckles was talking, Kerry looked over to me, I just like nodded with my eyes closed, like, and then we both went back to watching the movies, like, yes, it is Big Driss, this unspoken like thing that we have watching movies, yes, it is who you think it is. Yeah, so that's what I've been watching now, and I have to say, it was, if I was on Letterboxd, which I'm not, I would give it a 3 stars.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Very, particularly the last hour was very good, very action-packed. So, and I'm a big fan of the franchise, as you know.
I'd recommend watching the first one in full. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Is it on Netflix? Yeah, it's enjoyable.
Yeah, it's on one of them.
Speaking of Sonic, I watched a movie that had Ugly Sonic in it.
What?
A little movie on Disney Plus. I don't know if you saw it. It was dropped there, called Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Yeah, a new movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
It is Andy Samberg and John Mulaney are Chip and Dale, okay?
Yeah.
And
I can see that.
It's set in a world where.
God, I used to love Chip and
the
Dale.
The two. What are they? Chipmunks? They're chipmunks, yeah?
Yeah.
So they got their own show, and it was the Rescue Rangers.
Yeah.
And when it got cancelled and they went their separate ways, you know, it's like 20 years later, it picks up.
Right.
And it's like, it's kind of like a bit of like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit thing where humans and cartoons live in the same world.
Oh, nice.
You know, this kind of stuff. And there's a bit of a murder mystery thing in it. But like,
sorry to interrupt you. What's happening with John Mulaney? Why do I keep seeing his name all over
Twitter?
What's he up to? What's he done?
I think it was just he had Dave Chappelle on as his opening act on one of his recent gigs.
Yeah.
And like Chappelle has really like doubled down on this like transphobic stuff that we were talking about a while ago.
Right.
And people are like, why are you giving him this platform? You know, he has his own platform. Like, why would you voluntarily invite this guy into your.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Seems,
you know?
It doesn't seem like it matches tonally with
apparently
John Mulaney's comedy.
Like, he introduced him, Chappelle was like going on, a bit more like transphobic stuff, started making jokes about a woman with a disability in the front row, but like kind of roasting her, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Doing like bad Chinese impersonation, all the real kind of bad taste stuff, which like he doesn't really need to. Like, I've been saying this for a while, like, I don't really understand the way his comedic career has gone, that like he doesn't like to be told what he can and can't say, which, fair enough,
that's probably why he's doubling down on
that's it, like, but also then he's like, but I don't want to live with the consequences of what I say. So it's not fair that you criticize me. It's not fair that you criticize me for saying all this horrible stuff.
Right.
You know, that kind of way. And it's like, well, then don't say it. Like, you don't have to say it. Like, I don't understand.
Some fan attacked him.
He's being charged with attempted murder, this guy.
He got fucking beat up. His arm was bent the other way. Even I seen the clip, he's like, he's back there getting stomped. You know? Like, they really just, like, did a number on it. I see him, like, handcuffed to the thing as he's going into the ambulance. Like,
it's like when somebody tries to jump the rail at a wrestling show.
Yeah.
The heels in the face immediately just, like
Triple H.
Kayfabe is gone. Like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Like,
see what Will Smith started now? This is all Will Smith's fault.
No, I mean, Chappelle was
I mean, yeah, but you don't jump on the stage and attack someone. Will Smith did that.
He didn't jump on the stage. He walked up. Look at you, like.
No, you can't get up. Not look at me. You can't get up on stage and attack someone. You can't do that.
I know you can't. But like,
whatever you think about the jokes, just leave. But like, you can't just get up and try and attack them.
I would prefer if he had a shout at him or whatever. We're not going to litigate the Will Smith thing again. We spent too much time on it. But Chip and Dale is movie. It is. It's very like it's satirical. It pokes fun at the industry and. Seth Rogen
in the movies, or is
it on Disney Plus? Straight to Disney Plus. It was one of their big releases. I liked it quite a bit. You got great voice cast. You got Will Arnett is in there, who's always good.
Great.
You got J.K. Simmons. Who else? Seth Rogen.
Nice.
You know, that's good. Yeah, it's a good.
Did you letterbox the whole?
I didn't yet. Actually, there's a whole bit with Ugly Sonic. Because he's at like a fan con and he's like, oh, Chip from Chip and Dale, whatever.
Yeah.
And nobody's coming to him. And then it's like, he's like, they don't want you just like me. And it's like, oh, hi, Ugly Sonic. And it's like the Sonic with the teeth.
Oh, yeah.
The human teeth. And he's like, and it's Tim Robinson doing the Ugly Sonic voice, which is
great.
Perfect casting.
That's brilliant.
He's like, I know. They took one look at my human teeth.
Like that fits into
it. It's almost too perfect there. Like
they should have just if they had just ran with that Sonic for the original and just swapped the cast to
put Tim Robbins
and just let him riff the whole thing. It would
like,
worked.
They kind of make him have like a bit of a pot belly as well, or it's like somebody takes a picture. He's like, "Here you go," and then like they start laughing. He's like, "Oh," and he's like, "They're laughing at me. Well, I'm in on the joke too, so you can't hurt my feelings."
Well, look, I'm sure you've got a lot of other things that you've watched.
No, that was it.
Okay. I was going to say we're nearly approaching half an hour, but I was a big fan of the Chippendales back when I was a kid, and now I was only watching it like last year.
Love the tune,
the old ones.
Chippendale,
Rescue Rangers.
Now, push came to shove, I was more of a Rescuers than Chippendale.
I didn't vibe with the Rescuers myself.
Always just remember there was like, you know, we used to buy the or rent those Disney tapes, and at the start they would have like a trailer for a different one. I don't know if you remember, like, for the Rescuers Down Under, what it was.
No, but the it name was like, rings a bell.
The Rescuers, so it was The Rescuers, and The Rescuers Down Under was the sequel. Because it was early 90s and everything was Australia. You know, Crocodile Dundee.
Australian kick in the 90s, of course.
But it was like, I just remember thinking as a kid, I'm like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. It was like, the two of them, they're mice, and they're on the back of this like eagle. And then they like go over a waterfall and go down. And I was like, wow, this is the best looking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Do you remember?
Blown away, George.
Do you remember Fern Gully?
I do remember Fern Gully. Robin Williams Fern Gully. Did the voice.
What?
Robin Williams did one of the voices.
Yeah,
but they weren't allowed promoted. They weren't allowed promoted.
Really?
Because of his deal with Aladdin.
No way.
So it was like he's the voice of Aladdin, and then it's like there was no thing to use him in the marketing because they were like, whatever shady deal. Disney's like, that's a rival animation company. You can't, you know, make a big deal.
We own you now.
Yeah, exactly. Much like,
how mental is that? Well,
hello.
Look, I don't have. Very last thing. I've been listening to a new album, Terry. I'll be very quick about it because
there's
not much to say about it. Kendrick Lamar's new album dropped. Now, as a 36-year-old white father of soon-to-be two, I think I'm something of an authority on this. It's fucking deadly, Terry. It's one of these ones that, like, I've been listening to it all week, and I feel like it needs more than one listen because there's just so much going on. It's like a double album almost. But it's excellent. Are you all right?
I'm just looking at your T-shirt.
Yeah. You know what it is.
Oh, God.
Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino.
And the old gray whistle test
lights. Take it easy for a little. And that, speaking of new albums, that's coming out any week now.
Good. Hope it's good. Hope it's good.
Anyway, I would say I would give Kendrick Lamar's, if you're asking, which I know you are, I'd give it a 8.5. No, I'd give it a 9 out of 10. Mm. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. There's loads going on.
Okay, maybe I'll give it a swirl.
He's very good. I wouldn't really listen to any other hip hop, but like, he is very good.
I do like
very
him.
Different. So anyway, that's all I'll say. I won't say no more. All right.
Well, considering we're on an off week this week,
and we're
turning the dial back a little bit. We're giving you your MCU shot straight to the vein. Not going on the Patreon shit. We decided. We put it on the main feed. We're only 6 months behind. It's Spider-Man No Way Home.
Truth is, I accidentally brought those dangerous people here.
You started getting some visitors.
The world, if you're watching, wish me luck.
From every universe.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man could really use some.
You're flying out into the darkness to fight ghosts.
What do you mean?
They all die fighting Spider-Man. It's their fate.
Ever since I got bit by that spider, I've only had 1 week where my life has felt normal.
Spider-Man is all but invincible. But Parker, we can destroy him.
This is all my fault. I can't save everyone.
But together we can. You are not alone.
Peter. You're struggling. And everything you want. While the world tries to make you choose.
The longer you do it, the more dangerous it becomes.
I want to help you.
Remember, kid. With great power comes great responsibility.
Don't do this.
I have to try.
But there has to be another way.
There isn't.
Peter, it's time to get up.
Peter, open the door.
Do not open that door.
That, of course, was the trailer for 2021's Spider-Man No Way Home. Andy.
Terry.
Care to take a stab at the budget?
The budget. $150 million.
Now, hold on. What's happened here?
Oh, boy.
You say 150?
Yeah, 150. Yeah,
200 mil.
I was going to say 200, but I thought, no, that's silly. $200 million.
What are they spending it on? What are they spending it on? That's what
CGI,
I want to know.
Yeah, apparently.
Care to guess the opening weekend?
Opening weekend.
It's big. I'll give you a hint. It's big. Okay. It's a big opening weekend.
250.
260.
No, oh, that's not. This is,
now.
I think it should be within like
10%. No,
AC said 10%.
No. Oh, okay. Did he? Well, AC ain't in charge no more.
He's
AC
upstairs
is you.
Taking a bet.
Yeah.
I'll call you when he gets out. All right. So then domestic.
Yeah, domestic total.
850 million.
804 million.
Oh, Jesus, I'm close though.
Just 46 million away.
Yeah, but come on, like, it could be anything
worldwide.
Worldwide, well, I know it's gonna top the billy. 1.6 billion. What
1.89 billion.
Jesus Christ, whoa. Mm-hmm. That's mad, isn't it?
It is fucking mental.
Is that like the highest grossing movie of all time? Or
no.
Or...
No.
What is? Or Avatar, what figure is the
highest? Avatar is, I think it's like 3 billion.
Jesus.
I think, because it was re-released there.
Here's a question. What if Avatar 2 is shite, right?
Avatar is 2.8.
2.8. But what if Avatar 2 is shite? They've made 2 and 3.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What if it tanks? They're going to have to go and put 3 out as well?
I wouldn't bet against James Cameron. Let's be honest. His movie, you kind of forget. He didn't make a movie between Titanic and Avatar. And they're both... At their release, they were the highest grossing movies of all time.
Right.
So
why is that though? Why is that? Because you know he's fucking deadly.
Like, no, he's not. Give me a fucking break.
He's an egotistical maniac.
You chose two of his on your 90s action movies.
T2 and...
True Lies.
What? Two great movies, to be fair. Yeah. Two bangers, yes, yeah. But I don't like him. I don't know why.
I don't really like him either, but god damn it, I'm impressed by him. Like,
okay, so Spider-Man made silly money, really. Do you have any fun facts about this one?
I do. Here's one for you. On August 20th, 2019, Marvel and Sony had severed their relationship due to financial disputes. Marvel/Disney wanted more profits from the third film that they agreed to make, where Sony
made it for them, didn't they?
Well, Marvel do the creative side. Sony, like, Marvel produce it and do all that. They do the script and stuff. Sony distribute it, and it's still... Sony allow Marvel to have it in the MCU, if you get me.
There you go. Some nerve, haven't they?
Sony?
Yeah.
It's their property. They don't have to. But it benefits both of them.
It hugely benefits them. Sony don't know how to make a good Spider-Man movie.
Is that true? I mean, at the time of them doing the Marvel deal, the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies had woefully underperformed.
Right.
Whereas if you look at the Sam Raimi first three, they were like... Spider-Man 2 had the biggest opening weekend of all time at one point.
Wow.
So, you know.
I feel like Sony needs Marvel a lot more than Marvel needs Sony.
Yeah, and apparently the Marvel only got 5% of the first dollar profits from those first two Tom Holland movies.
Mad.
Yeah. So,
okay, so they had then they got into a dispute again.
It was like their Spider-Man is going back to Sony, he's not going to be in the MCU anymore, and everyone was upset.
Yes.
So much so that, like, Tom Holland did, like, a video being like, we need to patch things up. Blah, blah, blah. You know, like, it was like a viral thing.
Okay.
On September 27th, 2019, two companies agreed to new terms. Marvel gets 25% of the Spider-Man gross. Spider-Man will appear in one additional MCU movie. Marvel, though, had to pony up a quarter of the financing in order to agree to this deal.
And so, when they had the dispute, who was disputing? Marvel or Sony?
Marvel wanted more.
Yeah.
Well, rightfully so, because I think Spider-Man Far From Home grossed like $800 million or something like that. Like,
yeah.
And it... The formula is the MCU formula, really. Benedict Cumberbatch admitted to not reading the full script, wanting to surprise himself with the finished product.
Okay.
Bit of a wanker. First film of COVID era to open over 100 million in its opening weekend.
Wow.
And it is the first film...
Huge.
To gross over 1 billion worldwide since Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, which was 2019. December 2019.
That grossed over a billion as well. Jeez, that Star Wars franchise just pays. People go see any old shit, right?
But it was down. Like, I think... What was the one... You know they made 3?
Yeah.
The first one of the three. I can't remember. Jesus. Force Awakens. Star Wars Force Awakens.
Of course.
That has the highest domestic total in the US ever.
Wow.
Close to a billion because it was that big in the US.
Purely because it has the word Star Wars in the title.
Well, Star Wars. And then like Han Solo was in it. Princess Leia was in it. Right, you know, it was the old guy, Chewbacca.
People are
like,
so stupid.
It's a good movie. Force Awakens is good. I'm not a huge Star Wars guy. I think they're all about 2.5 hours. I'm not a huge Star Wars guy. Force Awakens is good. Last Jedi is better. Rise of Skywalker is garbage. It is fucking bad. It's so weird that it's like, because they got J.J. Abrams, who I think can be a very good populist filmmaker.
Yeah.
They got him in to do Force Awakens, and it was kind of like, oh, they just did the original Star Wars again, but different. But it's kind of the same beats or whatever. And it's really fun and it's deadly. And then they got Rian Johnson in who, like, have you seen Looper?
I don't know.
Here's
actually.
One. Have you seen that episode? You would. Breaking Bad. So he did a lot of Breaking Bad. He did the episode with the fly in Breaking Bad, if you remember that one.
Yeah.
Or the best episode of television ever is the Ozymandias episode. You know, the one where Walt, spoilers for Breaking Bad, if whoever hasn't watched Breaking Bad out there, but so it's the third last episode of the series where Walt takes the baby and leaves it in the fire station, and he leaves.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's best episode of television I've ever seen in my life. He directed that, and he made a Star Wars movie that was like different and kind of cool. I thought, anyway.
Yeah.
And like all the like Star Wars fanboys were like, "Shoot this guy! I hate him. He ruined my Star Wars. How dare he? This is a Star Wars formula. He stayed away from the Star Wars." That's gonna sound great. Then and it was kind of like he was adding to the story that had been written in the first movie, and then they hired J.J. Abrams and somebody else back, and it was just like everything that Rian Johnson had done, they're like, no, I don't really like that, so we're just going to write over
that.
We're just going to write over that, all the stuff you put into the second part of this trilogy. I'm just going to change it. Don't like it. It's like doing improv with somebody and it's like, yes, and then you just no, but then you just say something that like puts a big full stop at the end of it. It's like, seen over then.
And do they have any relation to? Oh, no, they don't have any relation to this movie. We're just talking.
No, we're just talking. Last tidbit.
Yes,
this was originally supposed to appear after Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. But due to delays on that movie due to COVID. And Sony, because it's a Sony movie, essentially, they don't have to change their theatrical dates. You know, so Marvel, like, oh, we have to push back Doctor Strange. And they're like, so?
Yeah.
And Marvel's like, well,
Your problem, not mine.
It's like, yeah. What about it, egghead?
That sounds like a you problem, not an our problem.
He's like, well, Doctor Strange is in this movie. And the stuff we had written for him in his movie ties into this movie as well. Don't care.
Yeah.
So both films had to be rewritten.
Sony seem like such arseholes. Yeah. And their animation studio is such top notch.
They're top notch. So they weren't willing to push Spider-Man, and right by the numbers, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But that when we get to our Doctor Strange episode, a lot of stuff in that movie doesn't. It would seem to make more sense if it came first. I'll put it that way.
Right.
because
these two. It's like these two. It's like two guys from Kabul.
You know, I think you want the fair.
They're just two guys who just don't like each other. Have to work together.
Yeah, but that's all I got there.
Okay. I just remember this one being such a huge deal. You know, I remember it being like, well, this is the one. And I was like, how are they going to put all the different ones in? That was the big selling point. All the baddies.
When you
from
see
the
trailer
ones.
And you see, hello, Peter. I'm a shiny-faced Alfred Molina.
Yeah.
Look how smooth I look.
So,
what did you think?
I'll tell you now. I didn't take any notes. Okay.
Good sign.
I was just watching it. What? I didn't take just any notes.
Just vibing
with it. And, oh, Terry, let me tell you, first of all, I had a fucking... I don't use this word often, Terry.
Text me if you want the link. God, I'll get you the link.
I had a cunt of a time watching this movie, okay? And I don't say that word often. Because, see, if you send me a link, I only have it on my phone. And my internet's not great. I need it torrented, right?
What do you mean you only have it on your phone?
If you text me a link, I'll only have it on my phone. Can I cast it?
Well, you can get WhatsApp Web on your laptop, and then you can cast it from there. Or you can cast it from your phone, yes.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. But anyway.
You're nonetheless, supposed to be the tech guy in this relationship.
Nonetheless, I have a very, very old laptop that doesn't really work, and I had a terrible time trying to watch it. We were supposed to record this on Thursday, I think, and I texted you on Wednesday. Or was it? No, it was Wednesday, I think. And I texted
him. Yes, it was Wednesday. Yeah, I couldn't do something Thursday,
like
that. Yeah.
And I was like, I was all in a
Twitter
in a tizzy. And I was like, can we watch it on Sunday? Because I'm having it. And you're like, yeah, no problem. I was like, thank you. I spent a grand total of, I think, over 4 or 5 nights this has been on our TV. Because it's so fucking long as well.
It's long, isn't it? It's like 220. Yeah,
it's long. They're all long. I'm sick of it.
Doctor Strange. Absolutely. I think it comes in under 2 hours, Doctor Strange.
Great. Like, but this fucking...
one is too long, I would say. This is too long. Yeah,
they could have cut a bunch out of it. Overall, I enjoyed it.
Well.
I didn't love it. But I enjoyed it overall.
I think this is the worst one of the three Spider-Man.
Do you? Yeah. Interesting.
I think it is. And it kills me to say that because it has so many people in it that I love.
I tell you who saved it was Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire. I thought they were both fantastic. Andrew Garfield, I don't know how his movie flopped. He's the best thing about this movie.
Andrew Garfield is a phenomenal actor. His movies flopped because they're bad. Written terribly, like bad movies, but he was always pretty good in them.
Yeah, he's the most charming.
In this movie, when he's in the movie for half an hour, and you're like,
I'd say about an hour.
I'm like, give me another Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movie. Like, Sony, go make one of those movies.
Yeah, you've got the ingredients right here, you idiots. I thought overall, now, like, you know,
before we run away with ourselves, they're great, but they're not the best performance in the movie.
Who do you think was?
You know.
Did you go on course?
You know.
I thought, I mean, look.
He's fucking
dead. I like Willem Dafoe, but I mean, it was a little bit of an overact,
no.
I think, in this one. Hello, Peter. Come on.
That's what it was. It was a bit too OTT for me. God, he's so good.
You know,
every time he gets hit, he's like,
it was a little bit. He was a little bit too cartoony in it for me. I thought. I must say,
give me more. He wasn't in the movie enough for me when I watched it this time. I was like, why is he gone for long spells? Yeah, give me more Willem Dafoe. Like,
of course you would say this, but
objectively,
I just thought,
anybody who's watching it should be saying that.
I'm reaching a conclusion here, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think I like movies anymore because every one of them. Maybe it's just the ones that we have to watch for this pod. I got a doozy for you, by the way.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, is it a doozy? I think so. Anyway, I'm sick of them. I'm sick of the length of them. I'm sick of the CGI in these long movies. You know, if it's going to be a Marvel one, it's going to be too long and it's going to be too much CGI. That's just a given now. And there was too much, like, whoa, flying, whoa, close call there, whoa. And I'm just, after a while, I just get like...
I think the CG in this movie is particularly bad.
Yeah.
Like, nothing feels like it's...
Yeah, I don't feel the high stakes that they're trying to convey here. You know, like, I don't feel... Like, whoa, he nearly got hit by that thing. I'm just like yeah, yeah. Nearly, like narrowly dodges that, narrowly dodges this, gets through here, gets that done, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, how many? You can't have 1,000 close calls in your action scenes. You know what I mean? That whole, Statue Spider-Man's of Liberty thing was just too, it was too much.
That's Spider-Man's thing, though. He, you know, he's the king of close calls. That's,
yeah,
you know, because he's the, you know, flexible way. Well, I get what you're saying. For me, like, having, especially, I think it was around when Doctor Strange being released, people were posting clips from the old Sam Raimi movies.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's a clip in it where it's, have you seen any of those movies?
I think I've seen the first two.
So, you know, when
Doc
Ock is like, he's in the hospital.
I don't really remember.
It's like a horror scene where it's like, they cut out all the music and he's on the operating table and then his arms come to life and his arms kill all the surgical team and it's like,
yeah,
and you can feel it because they're puppets.
Oh, when he's lying on his front?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he has the bandage over his eyes and stuff like that. And it's like, he's like, ah, you know, there's like, and it's, you see like the arms and the shadow and then it flies out. It feels like, oh, somebody was hit with that physical puppeteering thing. In these ones, it's like, oh, there's the, you know, the green sleeve around Peter's neck or whatever. You know, like, it's just like, it sucks. It's not tangible. And like, I read a good article on it that it was like, CG is getting worse.
Yeah.
And they don't care because they're still making loads of money. Until they stop making money off these movies.
Like, how can we, as the people, stop this? Because they're just going to, money talks loudest. So, like, they're just not going to, like, sure, we'll change it. Giving us, like, big wanker symbols sign. Like, sure, we'll change it.
It's weird in, like, even, and I probably because Doctor Strange is in this movie and I've just seen the other one.
Yeah.
And trying to make the comparisons. There's scenes in Doctor Strange where they're standing around and you're like, well, that's not real. Like, you know what I mean? It looks weird. And then the scenes in Doctor Strange where it's like they're in some weird dimension and all this stuff is flying at them. You're like, this actually feels way more tangible than anything I've seen in the last 5 Marvel movies. And I guarantee it's because it's Sam Raimi and he's doing some movement with the camera or whatever to make you feel like he's actually...
Make you feel like you're in it or something.
He's actually using filmmaking techniques. In this movie, I don't see any... Like I said this before, I don't... Like, John Watts directed this movie.
Could have been anyone. 1 of 1,000.
It really feels like they could have scooped up anybody just out of film school. Like, they essentially did with him. Like, he made, like, an indie movie called Cop Car where Kevin Bacon plays like a kind of corrupt hick cop, and these two young boys who have no loads of time in their hands, they find him. I think he's like, he has his car parked in a field and like he's passed out drunk somewhere else.
Yeah.
They take his car and go on a joyride, and the whole movie is him trying to get his car back because there's drugs in it or something like that he had confiscated, and if somebody else finds his car, he's fucked, that kind of thing. Good movie. He went from that to making his next 3 movies were Spider-Man movies. And you're like, there's nothing in that movie that was like, wow, this guy's going to be an action blockbuster guy. Yeah. It was just, he shows decent filmmaking technique. Let's slot him into the Marvel machine here.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he just gets slotted in. And I just...
And that's what's kind of disappointing. Like the Marvel
ones, don't have to. It's like with anything, you don't have to do it better because this will work because his name is Spider-Man.
You know? And it's an IP. Like the Marvel movies that we
sells itself.
The ones we kind of said we enjoy the most, if you look at our list, maybe bar Endgame, because Endgame, I think, is pretty. I'm not a huge Russo Brothers guy, but like Endgame pulling everything that together is pretty fucking. The way that movie.
Yeah.
Chums along, I think it's great. But like, if you look at like the ones that are like we like Taika Waititi, even something like Joss Whedon, like when they bring it, or like Joe Johnson, even for the first Captain America, they're bringing in these kind of distinctive filmmakers.
Yeah.
That know
give
how
it
to
something.
Yeah, as opposed to the ones that are very forgettable. They're like, this guy worked in TV, and we're kind of making like a movies as TV type thing. Put him in here. And it's like,
yeah,
you get Thor the Dark World.
I find
with
these that I just get, it's very easy. It's easy anyway for me to get taken out of movies these days. But like for this particular, I'm just like, I'm just looking at it. You know, it was an easy watch. We kind of run out of our stuff that we were normally watching, so it wasn't that big of a deal to watch. It was like, yeah, it's easy. But like,
it is an easy watch. It is an easy watch. What did you think of the story, though? Like, do you think the story...
I thought it was just a bit... I didn't really... I thought all of the bad guys in it were a little bit too, like... Duh! You know, they were a bit... There was nothing. There was no threat about any of them, really. Willem Dafoe was the best one, by far. But, like, even as cartoony as he was... What?
What do you think of Jamie
Foxx? I like Jamie Foxx. Yeah, Jamie Foxx. He was actually all right as well. But I thought, like, this sand guy, I didn't know what the fuck he was. This lizard guy.
From Amazing Spider-Man.
Stupid as well. I thought Doc Ock was, like, some sort of comic relief character or something. He wasn't threatening at all.
Well, the way they ride him really doesn't make him, you know.
And I'll say this as well, as a slight side note. I feel like, is it Zendaya or Zendaya?
Whatever.
Yeah, Zendaya, I'll say. I don't think she's that good in these anymore. I thought she was very good in the first one.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's really given me anything anymore in these. You know what I mean? Particularly in this one. I was like...
I was kind of like, Tom Holland was kind of irritating me in this one as well. Like,
yeah.
I listened to like a podcast and they're like... It's a We Hate Movies, the podcast, and they never talk about it, Spider-Man, but like as in an episode. But when they talk about Tom Holland as a sidebar now and again, and they're like, Mr. Stark, oh my god, like doing like a kind of, and I'm like, when I heard him talking and trying to put on his Queen's voice, I was like, oh, I kind of hear what they're talking about, like, sir, excuse me. What about this?
Grating. I was going to ask you, sorry, how did this movie critically fare? Because do people cream their jeans for it? Or
the more commercial ones were like, this is amazing. And then there's some, like one of the sites I would frequent quite a lot would be some IndieWire, which kind of, would have reviews of something that would be like more stuff that is at Cannes or Venice and stuff, a bit more broader spectrum as opposed to, you know, they still review the big releases, but like they're like, this movie is not good. I know why it's going to make $1 billion, but like, it's not a well-made movie. To be honest, I don't think it's a particularly well-written movie.
No,
and you
I like the whole idea that you can get them in to the. I like the concept, and I thought having the three Spider Men was like kind of cool for a while. Only because like
their stuff together, I think, is great. Their stuff together works really well.
That I would have loved more of that, and I would have thought that Tom Holland was the worst of the three. Frankly, as good as he is as on paper as being Spider Man. I thought Tobey Maguire, as old as he looked, was great. I thought
Tobey Maguire brings this quality.
Yeah.
This like quiet, like dignity almost to it.
Yes, like, exactly. You know? So I like that sort of thing. Let me ask you a question, because I see this guy come up a lot. Mark Kermode, is that his name? What do you think of him? He's a critic.
I've read a couple of his books. I think he... you think he writes his reviews quite well?
He's seen
a bit of a curmudgeon,
video.
Though. Like,
yeah, I've seen him on like YouTube and stuff, and
his Guardian reviews or whatever. Like,
yeah, and he's talking, and he does seem like a bit of a curmudgeon. He seems like a bit of a
contrarian for contrarian's sake. You know what I mean?
I get like, that far from him.
It's cool to be shitting on stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's way cooler to be like, I love movies, and this is awesome. And here's why I think it's great. But also, I can understand But
you're
I can tell you're kind of more like that.
You're always looking for the positive.
100%. But I can when something is not good, I will not be like. I'll call it out.
I'll only give it a 9 instead of a instead of a 10.
I'll call it out when it's not good. Like, and I tell you now, this movie wouldn't be near the top of my Marvel rankings.
Yeah.
Like I say, it's the lowest of the three Spider-Man. I just think when you open up the multiverse.
Yeah.
Right. Great. You get everybody coming in. The idea then of like, I'm going to save them, you know.
Yeah.
Like he's going to send, like, whatever. Doctor Strange is going to send them all back.
Yeah.
To their own timelines or their own multiverses. And then they're all going to die.
Yeah.
But, like, if you change them, if you cure them and send them back, what happens then? They never really explained that. It's like, oh, if I cure them and send them back.
It was a bit loose.
It's very, it's like, does that mean they go, when they go back, they're not fighting Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Like, does it change time? You know what I mean? Like, you know, from the point where they disappeared, essentially what they said was they were plucked out of the multiverse right before they died. So if you cure them and send them back, isn't the same thing going to happen? Like, nobody brings that point up.
And I feel like I'm being pedantic. But like,
you know, and.
Well, you want to know, you want to have some sort of, you want to get your footing on these rules.
And just like,
know?
It's very loose why he's like. Doing it,
yeah,
you know, it kind of makes more sense in the like the Doctor Strange you see in this movie compared to the one you saw in Infinity War,
yeah,
or like he was like, no, you can't, we can't break the rules, this is my dedication is to protecting the universe,
yeah,
and in this one he's kind of like, come on, Wong, let's do it, like,
yeah,
we've done worse for less or whatever, yeah. And you're like, okay. It kind of makes more sense after seeing the Doctor Strange movie, which that sucks. That's, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that annoys me. Like, yeah, you know,
because this time around I was watching, I was like, his character is different.
And yeah, this is a different Doctor Strange.
Yeah, and it makes sense, at, like I say, if the Doctor Strange movie comes before this one.
Yeah,
but they can't change that, and so it sucks. Yeah. And then the idea that like. First of all, what book they kind of write Spider-Man to be almost invincible. Like
that's the question I was going to ask: is he invincible?
Like, Doctor Strange knocks his consciousness out of his body. And he's like, and I'm just going to take that box off you. And for some reason, his arm just keeps.
Yeah.
And he's like, why is this happening? Again, no explanation.
Yeah, why is that happening?
No explanation. Is it his spider sense? I don't know. And then. Yeah. They go. They go into
a few times. I'm like, is he invincible? Because he should be dead from that. Yeah. A few times.
He gets electrocuted quite a lot.
Not a scratch on him, and he gets fucking like he could be thrown off a building. He'd be like, I'm like, I've literally no idea what the rules are. Then.
And then when he gets into the mirror universe,
yeah,
like he's like able to. I know, I'll use my mats. Like, I was like, fuck off. Like,
yeah.
Against this, like, wizard guy that is. Like, and it's, that scene looks cool, but, like, I guarantee you that the director doesn't have a hell of a lot to do with that. Like,
it
very much looks like, they did this in the other Doctor Strange movie, so we have that on file. Let's replicate that.
What I liked about it was the ease of watch. I
wasn't sitting there with my arms folded, you know what I mean, watching it, like,
there's enough going on that you're at least, you know, there's enough to sort of see, but I just feel with these movies, like, I don't think I like Marvel movies anymore,
which is weird considering, like, at the end of phase 3 you were like,
when we ended phase 3 I was on such a high, and I was like, sold, whatever it is, just give it to me. I'm 100% one. I see what's so great about them. Phase four has just completely turned me in the opposite direction, I think.
You've lost, you know, a couple of your cornerstones of the you've lost Cap and you've lost Iron Man.
Cap.
Captain America.
You're on first name basis? Half first name basis with him?
Yeah.
Cap.
Kiap. You've lost Kiap. But And the people you're bringing in, the people you're bringing in, you're like, okay, I already know you, guy. Like, I don't know you, man. I don't know if I like you.
Shang-Chi. I had such high hopes for Shang.
I like Shang-Chi.
I had such high hopes for it. I thought that was fucking bollocks. I thought that was so bad. And then they had it. I had all the elements right there, and they fucked it up.
I think it's better. I think it's a better movie than this. Maybe not. Maybe not this. Maybe not better than this.
I want to say it,
but then when I was saying it, I'm like, no, this one's got Willem Dafoe. This one's got Willem Dafoe. It's got Andrew Garfield. Like the highs in this are definitely higher.
Yeah,
you know.
I thought it went on for too long, and I just
like the fighting in Shang-Chi is fucking brilliant though. Like
except for that third act, fucking CGI water dragons. Yeah. Fest.
Of course, but
that
like,
that was the worst example of it, where you're just like, I'm just watching it, but I'm like, is this supposed to be like, oh my god, look what they're doing? Like, it wasn't like that at all. It was just like,
I think the CGI in this is worse. Like at least with that, it's like, you're lent into the mystical of it. Mm. You're lent into like, there is a great protector. Yeah. There is this fucking weird monster that's going to come out. In this one, it's like, we're going to put sand everywhere. You're like,
yeah,
cool. Thanks for that. Yeah, you know, like, and lightning. How about that? And you're like, well, look, shy.
There was a scene in particular, the very last scene in particular, when... And I'll get to the whole they're going to forget you sort of thing. Mm. When he's swinging through the city at the very end.
In the snow.
I was like, is this a cartoon?
Yeah.
I was saying, like, this doesn't look anything like Spider-Man swinging through the sky from the previous 2 hours, 20 minutes of this movie. I'm like, oh, is this just a cartoon now? Like have they literally run out of money? Like, it looked so bad.
Even the bit, you know, where he gets to the bridge.
Yeah.
He gets to the bridge and Doc Ock and Green Goblin show up.
Yeah.
But like, at a certain point when he's like standing on top of a truck or something, I'm like, and it's just like Tom Holland's like head, and it's like, oh, like he's just green screen to fuck here. Like that's not his body. That's not it. It's just his floating head. Like,
yeah, and you're like, exactly. And then the whole thing about they'll forget you, and he's like, yeah, I know, do it. Couldn't he have written a note or something? Couldn't? And she'd be like, what's this all about? Wouldn't you at least be like, let me just write something really quick and you write this to me and I'll show it to you and you show, you know, something. I just kind of thought they could have done more with that. Like, we're going to forget you forever.
They're really trying to be, like, even the Doctor Strange thing, he's like, we, the people that love you, we will forget you. I was like, you fucking hated this kid an hour ago in this movie, or like, you know, and I don't know. There are some good bits in it, like when they do the Dafoe turn.
Yeah, that was good.
I think it's so fucking, like, because you're getting to see him act.
Yeah,
you know, and he's like,
boy,
what?
Boy, are you?
Yeah, well, he throws the thing and he's like, oh, he's like, yes, Peter.
It was just too much for me.
Good.
No. I love Willem Dafoe, but he was just too much of a
He's a fucking like wrestler in this. He's doing fucking power bombs and spine busters through the floor. I loved it. Like, I'm at this.
It was too much. Like, now you're gonna get it.
Yeah,
like, you know, just that's too what the much,
Goblin
like,
is.
It was just.
And he kills Aunt May.
Yeah, that was. I was thinking like, oh, okay.
Because
it was kind of a very like blink and you'll miss it almost, like, you know, that sort of. I remember
the first time as well. It's like when he hits her with the fucking thing, and then she gets up. I was like, oh, she's grand, is she? No.
Yeah.
More fool me, because then she falls down. It's like, oh.
I thought the whole J.K. Simmons?
Let's start with J. Jonah Jameson.
Clearly the Alex Jones character. Yeah.
He's good, isn't he? Like,
I thought he was good.
He's never been bad as J. Jonah.
I think he was J.
Jonah in the other ones.
I just, this overacty thing that was happening in this movie, I thought,
see,
with some of the bad guys, was just a bit too, no need for that Sandman at all, or that lizard guy. Get out, like. Just
they were just there because they were in the other movies. That's yeah. it. They were just there that they were in the other movies.
Just take a hike. I don't have too much more.
No, I mean, we can talk about...
Unless you... Yes.
Like, what was the end? Oh, the end credits? Did you see the end credits?
Yeah.
With Venom?
Oh, yeah.
Tom Hardy, your boy.
Hey.
And, like, apparently yeah. at the end of Venom 2, he gets pulled into the, like, Tom Holland universe.
Look, and I would love to see Tom Hardy in anything. I haven't seen any of the Venom ones. It sounded stupid. Looked stupid.
And then it left a little bit of a little bit of Venom behind.
Yeah.
Seems so. Is that going to be? Are they going to do Venom in the MCU? Who knows? I doubt it.
I tell you, because Sony owns Venom. It's a bit of a slog, to be honest with you. Like I said, overall, I was, you know, it was fine.
They're coming into their run. It's Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Thor. I think it's Black Panther. Then maybe next year it's Guardians, Ant-Man, and Fantastic Four.
I think they're going to ruin them all. I don't think any of them are going to be good.
I mean, I would have a bit of faith. Taika Waititi doing Thor. You know, they're still keeping it in his hands. I would have a bit of faith in that.
He might be good in it, but the movie will be shit.
No, he's directing it, like... Oh, Taika Waititi, like, you know.
Okay, fine.
So he directed Ragnarok, and him directing Ragnarok was like, this is the best Thor one yet. It was your favorite one, like, you know.
I've shown myself up there, fine.
yeah, it's a fine...
What would you give it? What would be your rating?
6.5.
Ooh, scathing. It's like a 2 for me.
It's not my favorite of the Phase 4. I'll tell you that now.
No.
From
that saying something.
Like,
what is your favorite from Phase 4?
Doctor Strange is my favorite from Phase 4. Then this, then Shang-Chi, then Eternals, then Black Widow.
Oh, Eternals. Remember that? Oh, that was fucking dog shit.
At least
shit,
they were trying
it?
Something, though. Like, Black Widow was just so much like...
Black Widow was the Falcon and the Winter Soldier of
pretty much, isn't it? Like, you know,
Phase 4 movies.
Give me some. I like the TV. It's weird. It just seems maybe they're just trying to do too much. You know what I mean? They seem a bit stretched
all over the place. What's changed? What's changed there? Feige's still actually in charge.
Feige's there, but like
he's okay in all this.
But I think it's because they have so many projects. Like, they've done WandaVision. They've done Loki. Brilliant. They've done. Brilliant. Falcon the Winter Soldier, they've done Hawkeye. Hawkeye's really good.
I haven't seen it.
Hawkeye's actually a hell of a lot of fun, honestly.
All right.
What If, like, they're doing so much TV and movies. Yeah. It seems like the cracks are starting to show.
Yeah, I think so. I'm very, very and I thought when WandaVision came out,
I think you'll like Doctor Strange, honestly. I do. I think that's
I do like Doctor Strange, but
like, even in this movie, I'm like, I don't really like him in this movie.
Yeah,
you know,
not Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's like compared to the character as written in the previous movies.
Yeah,
you're like, okay, yeah, it's like you just.
Well, if I'm giving it a score myself, I'd probably give it a 6.5 as well.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
The biggest crime that it commits is it's terrible CG, and yeah,
as per.
And I guess I need some sort of like even Eternals, you know, you could tell Chloe Zhao directed that movie because she likes to do that whole like natural light effect. And you're like, oh, well, that's part of her in there.
Yeah. Give me something.
Yes. I need something extra. Something. Yeah, I need
don't just
something.
Give me the general Marvel soup.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But like people talk about it as it like this movie. They were like, "This is the best fuck." Like I cried,
yeah,
I cheered when they came. Here's the other thing, actually, that fucking pissed me off about this movie, and I can see why. I think this is one of the big changes that they had to make was like Ned being able to be like, whoosh, oh, I can create portals now.
Yeah, okay.
Like, fuck right, off. Then. Yeah. You know, if...
like, I've got Doctor Strange's magic like Doctor Strange. Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Nah. That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Nah.
Nah.
Put it, I was going to say put it in H. Nah, what's so great about Pod? Quote us on that. Put that on your poster. Anyway, we get our plugs in, or what?
Yeah, go on.
All right, you can find... All right, you little freaks. You can find us on Twitter at WSGAPod. Hey, we hit the... well over 500 followers now, huh? Got a good... I mean, I know it's crass to talk about it on mic, but we got a good bump in the followers after this week's viral smash.
Oh, cool.
You can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod, where you can find links to everything we do, including our latest episodes, some video podcasts, and the Patreon.
Oh, the Patreon. Well, we got two tiers. We got our pay what you want tier, which is literally, I think, euro is the least you pay. And you get, for that, you get 4 bonus episodes per month. You get access to all of our back catalogue of What's So Great About MCU, where we were a lot more positive.
Yeah.
And then we got into that meaty curve. There was a lot of it that was nice talk. 2 and 3
especially, very much. Yeah.
We've got What's So Great About 90s action movies, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, What's So Great About Big Willie's Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's Bad Movies. And then we got a bunch of top fives. We got a bunch of playlists that we made for one another. There's certain like one-off episodes, Pitch It in H and Perfect Day Pod.
We're also going to be putting some of our back catalogue on there. So if you missed our What's So Great About Wes Anderson series, you'll be able to find all those episodes over on the old Patreon as well.
Very good. Mm-hmm. If you're a $5 backer, one of our big shots, or €4.15, of course, we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
You get access to everything I just said, plus you get a monthly bonus Q&A. You got the Q's, we got the A's right for you. And you get access to all our video content as well. You know, you're getting a little something extra.
Oh, yes.
You
know,
and we do appreciate everybody who is a big shot. You hungry hearts down
all
there.
Yes. I mean, all of you, we have to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to, don't you? Less so for you hungry hearts, but yeah. So, look, if you can't afford...
That does not represent us, thank you, everyone.
If you can't afford to pay whatever you want, I mean, I just said it's a euro, you know, you can do me something else. Now, Andy.
Yeah?
In this movie...
Go on, now.
There were...
Don't do it.
Green Goblin. What was his name? Electro. The Lizard.
Electro.
The Sandman. Lizard. Doc Octopus. Is that everybody?
Yeah, that's 5.
That's 5? Is there only 5? I thought it was 6. Well, there's 5 of them. Give me 5 stars. Oh, star for each and one of those villains.
There he is. How does he do it, folks? I don't know.
Just right there. That's it. You saw me. That's how I do it.
5 stars would be great. Get for us, the brand.
Get us back in the charts and keep you guys in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
If you've made it this far, you are totally doing the Lord's work, and we thank you very much for it.
Next week...
Oh, it's an Andy's pick.
Now, Terry, I'm going to do something that you've done before, so I'm allowed to do it. I'm going to watch it again, but it's a movie that I've seen already.
Okay.
I'm going to watch it again. All right.
Okay. You're picking it.
It's a movie on Netflix. Now, you know that I'm a fan of the high concept movies.
I know what this is going to be. Can I guess?
Yeah, go on.
It's Platform.
Oh, yes.
All right. Okay.
It's the Platform. It's a fun one. Now, let me just break down for all you boneheads out there. I'm sorry. I'm coming in hot here. The Platform. Now, here's the concept. Tell me that this doesn't sound good, right? So, the film is set in a large tower-style vertical self-management center. So, they're all on these levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Its residents are switched every 30 days between its many floors. Now, initially, at the top floor, you get on the platform that comes down, there's like a whole array of like a grand meal with like chicken and like just the works, everything. and it goes down each level. It's like, I don't know how many levels there are. It goes down each level, and so the people at the bottom get the scraps. So every month you wake up, you're on a different level. I mean, the story itself, and it's only an hour and a half long. How about that? And it only stops for a fixed amount of time, so you have to kind of wolf it in. But like, are you a good person? Are you not? Do you leave some for the levels below? It's excellent.
Like Snowpiercer vibes off this.
I haven't seen it, but
you haven't seen Snowpiercer?
No.
Ooh, I haven't. You'd like it. It's about.
Oh, I've seen it. I don't think I would like it. Yeah, I don't think I liked what I saw there.
Oh, it's a fucking good movie, man.
Ed Harris. It was the show. Is there a show?
There is a show.
Yeah, it was the show that I saw.
Chris Evans. Chris Evans is in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Chris Evans is in the movie. And it's Chris Evans. Who's the other? There's another old guy. But Ed Harris is the conductor of the train. I think it's Sean Bean in the TV show.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, it is, yeah. No, but anyway, this one, I'm actually looking forward to watching it again.
Great.
So, yeah, hour and a half, nice, easy one. Folks, I would highly recommend that you watch it. It's technically, it's a Spanish horror film, but you know, that no one does horrors like the Spanish. So
Koreans.
And Spanish. Koreans Spanish are good. Great. Well, whatever. That's the movie, anyway.
Whatever. I look forward to that. I want to give a big shout out to our main music man, Neil Murray. Big thanks for doing the theme song for this and our Patreon content. You can find Neil on Twitter at Cable Crusader and Housewives on YouTube. He just dropped a beautiful rendition of the song there recently. You'll get that on his Twitter page. It was really delightful.
I'm delighted to be associated with such talent, to be honest.
Yeah, he really classes up the pod.
He does. And on that note, folks, if you're joining us on Patreon, you'll hear our top 5 Seinfeld episodes. Hey. And if you're a big shot, you'll hear a bit of the Q&A. If not, we will catch you next week for some platform content.
That's a magic number. Three. It is. It's the magic number. Three. Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born 3, Mace Dub and me, and that's a magic number.
What does it all mean?
Difficult preaching is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart. Something that stimulates the music in a measure. Measure in the music, racing 3 parts. Casually see, but don't do like a soul. Cause seeing and doing are action for monkeys. Doing hip hop, hustle, no rock and roll. Unless your name's Brewster, cause Brewster's a punk. Parents let go, cause it's magic in the air. Criticizing rap, shows you're out of order. Stop looking, listen to the phrase and Fred Astaire's. And don't get offended while Mace Do-Si-Do's your daughter. A tri-camera roll system is now set. Fly around the store under Daisy Productions. It stands for the inner sound. Y'all and y'all can bet that the action not a trick, but show not a function. Everybody wants to be a DJ, everybody wants to be an MC, but being speakers are the best, and you don't have to guess. De La Soul Posse consists of 3, and that's the magic number.
3.
This here piece of the pie is not dessert, but the cost that we dine, and 3 out of every darn time, the effect is, where the daisy grows in your mind. Showing true position, this here piece is kissing the part of the pie that's missing, where that negative number fills up your casualty. Maybe you can subtract it, you can call it your lucky partner, maybe you can call it your adjective. But odd as it may be, without my 1 and 2, where would there be my 3 mates past of me, and that's the magic number.
What does it all mean?
Focus is formed by flaunt of the soul. Souls who flaunt style gain praises by pounds. Common on speakers who honor the scroll. Scroll written daily creates a new sound. Listeners listen cause this here is wisdom. Wisdom of a speaker, a dumb and a plug. Set aside a legal substance to feed them for now. Get them high off this dialect drug. 3. Time is a factor so it's time to count. Count not the negative actions of 1. Speakers of soul say it's time to shout. 3 forms the soul to a positive sum. Dance to this fix and flex every muscle. Space can be filled if you ride like my lumber. Advance to the tune but don't do the hustle. Shake, rattle, roll to my magic number. Now you may try to subtract it, but it just won't go away. 3 times 1.
What is it?
1, 2, 3.
That's a magic number.